How's it? Welcome to Bobcat Radio. I'm your host, Evan. I'm up in the studio with Landon and Tasha. We have a terrific show packed for you today. We got a little USA hockey. We'll be bringing you that live every second something happens. You'll hear about it right here on KTSW 89.9. We got Landon and Tasha up in the studio. As our listeners know, there's a couple ways you can get in touch with us. Give us a call here, 245-FIRE. You can stream us at KTSW Sports for Twitter, and then Facebook at KTSW Sports, and you can also get us on Grande if you want to tune in. As our regular listeners know, we always start this show with a little thing I like to call name drop, and today is no different. Landon, who you name dropping?
Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach at the University of South Carolina. As you may know from listening to previous shows, the NCAA is proposing a rule change that would not allow teams to snap the ball before 29 seconds. So, I mean, otherwise known as they would have to let at least 10 seconds run off the play clock before snapping the ball. We don't have to go into it again. We've gone into it before.
Or a defensive substitution.
Oh, yes, exactly. But Steve Spurrier, not just coming out and saying that he's against it, but he has called it the Saban rule. What do you make of that?
He was a big supporter of this rule. He was the one that instigated it, and to get the whole rigmarole
going. Well, him and Bielema.
Who's Bielema?
At the University of Arkansas. Saban and Bielema were the two main advocates behind this rule. And, you know, Spurrier pointed out that, you know, against teams like Clemson, you know, they average around in the mid-80s when it comes to plays per game. But in a loss against South Carolina in a previous season, Clemson ran 61 plays. And then there were games against South Carolina before. So he's saying that, you know, he's not one of those coaches that's whining because we discussed this before. This is a rule that it looks like it is just coaches whining about not being able to adjust to these up-tempo offenses.
Well, some of the biggest schools it would affect. Oregon, the biggest one, infamously known for running a billion plays a game. And then Auburn, of recent, with their new skipper,
Miles on.
I was having trouble.
You're kind of blanking there, are you?
I guess. They run a pretty fast tempo offense too. So SEC foes going at it and disagreeing here. So,
but you also know that Nick Saban could not care less what Steve Spurrier thinks.
Yeah.
You know, Saban's won three of, you know, he's won three national championships at Alabama. You know, he's not gonna care one bit about what Spurrier said, and it was all in jest. So, but it is what it is. Just old SEC foes poking fun at one another.
It's the first time, in my opinion, that the NCAA is taking the common sense rule and applying it here. So, Tasha, with that, who you name dropping?
Okay, so my name drop is going to be Sarah McMahon. This weekend is going to be the women's bantamweight title fight, and so I'm pretty excited about that. It's Rousey versus McMahon. Rousey's currently 8-0, and McMahon is 7-0. And I like it because they're both Olympic champions. Like, they've both won bronze, gold, and silver in women's freestyle wrestling. So, I mean, everyone's saying, aside from Chris Cyborg, which hopefully I'll be hearing more from later, McMahon is the one to beat Rousey, and quite frankly, a lot of people are ready to see Rousey lose. Like, she's kind of getting compared to the Diaz brothers as far as attitude goes, and so.
Rousey is the one you don't like, right?
Oh, I mean, you know, call me out, but yeah, I'm definitely one of the people ready to see her lose. I think she's got a bad attitude, and she's not really representing women very well in the UFC, so.
She was the one that had the big UFC fight last time and didn't shake her hand, right, at the end?
Yep, Rousey and Tate, that fight was ridiculous. And then she came up with some excuse about being rude to her family. I don't know, some excuse, but I have no respect for anyone who doesn't have some kind of sportsmanlike conduct in sports, so.
Did you say she was going after someone's family?
Or, yeah, Rousey claimed that Tate was going after her family, but there was never anything said about that. She didn't give any more information to the story. She just said, oh yeah, Tate disrespected my family, and she never really elaborated on that, so I don't buy it.
Yeah, maybe she saw something that really wasn't there. You know, it's said that in sports you really shouldn't, at this level, you really shouldn't need any extra motivation, but, you know, maybe she was just trying to convince herself, like, give herself some extra motivation by doing that. I mean,
I feel like Rousey's taking on this villain role. I mean, I know they have a lot of those in the sport. They're like, you have your villains and you have your heroes. And, I mean, like I said, people are comparing her to the Diaz brothers. And, obviously, you know, a lot of people see the Diaz brothers as villains and they've got bad attitudes.
You want to know why Rousey is doing this? Because it's getting media attention right here. We would not be talking UFC without this controversy that Rousey's doing, and I applaud her. She is realizing that she's the face right now of UFC, and she's grabbing the bull by the horn, so I have no problem.
You're the face if you're the only one that Dana's going to promote.
Yeah, I mean,
well, no one's beaten her, except for
McMahon,
right?
But that's the
only
weight class they have. And now that Tito dropped his management with Cyborg, hey, Cyborg is going to be talking about coming to the UFC, hopefully, and then everyone's going to be like, Rousey who? Because everyone wants to see this Rousey-Cyborg fight. Like, I don't care who you are. Everyone knows that that will be one fight because Rousey can't just out-wrestle her. I mean, Cyborg has years of jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, striking, like, everything. So once Cyborg gets in here, nobody's going to remember who Rousey is.
My name drop is a little more local. And in the San Marcos, Texas area, I want to give a shout-out and name-drop to Corey Moyer, our freshman guard for the Texas State women's basketball team. She's been out for 2 months with a hand injury. She was playing a huge role. You might know her and Caitlin Wallace, a freshman that have come up and just played dominant roles on our women's roster. Corey Moyer made her first appearance on Wednesday against, I called that game and I forget, they played South Alabama, excuse
there
me.
There we go.
Man, and
especially with the Olympics going on with South Alabama's initials,
USA.
USA, come on,
yeah,
now.
That's pretty funny.
Come on,
and
man.
She had 7 points that might not seem like very much, but she had back-to-back three-pointers, and both of them came at a time when South Alabama was going on a run, and Corey Moyer knocked these three-pointers down to end the run and give the Bobcats a little momentum going into it, so it's good to see her back in the lineup, and she had her wrist taped up, but didn't look like it was affecting her.
Hey, I mean, as long as she can come back and contribute, you know, what was the injury? You said it was a hand injury, but exactly had happened to her?
She broke her wrist, and it was a shooting wrist. She's a southpaw, and so she couldn't shoot. So
wow, hey, that's all the more impressive. First game back. After after breaking, you know, the wrist on your shooting hand.
And she was sticking her paw in there and swiping, so you know that thing's, good. Stay tuned. We got some women's basketball, men's basketball, and softball, baseball. We're going to break down Texas State style. We'll be right back.